Thanks for tuning in to this week's message. For more resources and information about Cedar Valley, please visit cvchurch.org.
Tonight is different, and it's different on purpose. We embrace the tension, and we allow ourselves to feel the pain and the suffering of Jesus. We sit in the silence of tonight and tomorrow, and I believe it'll have great impact on our hearts and on our minds. The question is, why Good Friday? Why do we commemorate something so horrific? Why not just skip over the dread of the story and get to all the good stuff? The celebration of his resurrection. We know how this story ends. We know that in just 3 days, he walks out of the grave. We don't have to sit and experience the hopelessness that the disciples had to endure because we know that Sunday is coming. It's mind-blowing that Jesus said what he was going to do, and then he did it. And that's plenty of reason to skip the sorrow of his death and suffering and get to the celebration. And for me, this is challenging. I want to skip the darkness of the story and get to the victory of the story. But the impact of embracing the agony of his suffering and the reality of his brutal death is actually good for me. To sit in the silence, I think it's good for all of us, and I invite you to sit in the silence of Good Friday, his death, and allow that silence to do its work. Years ago, I served on the board for an organization called Habitat for Humanity. In short, the organization believes that everyone deserves a safe place to live. As a board member, we did the hard work of awarding families who endured a vigorous process to earn this home. Some of the requirements, one that I remember, is that they had 500 hours of sweat equity that they and everyone who would live in this home would have to work for in this home. They could also recruit volunteers to come and be a part of that sweat equity, and plus they would have to complete programs that would help them develop skills to be successful homeowners. Groundbreaking day was a big celebration. The day that you would cut the ribbon was the second big celebration, and the press would come and people would come. Everyone who enjoys a good story, neighbors would come and be a part of the big celebration. But as a board member, I always remember the celebration being a little bit sweeter for us because we saw what others did not see. We saw the hours and hours of sweat equity and the completion of programs that these homeowners would have to complete. The celebration was so much sweeter because we saw those things. And so it is with Easter and Good Friday. We can't fully appreciate the victory of Sunday without fully understanding the sorrow of Friday. Why did Jesus have to die? This is actually a loaded question. Scholars and bright minds have concluded with several theories, all of which are very compelling. The moral influence theory says Jesus Christ came and died in order to bring about positive change to humanity. The ransom theory teaches that Jesus Christ died as a ransom sacrifice, paid either to Satan or to God the Father, satisfying the debt on the souls of the human race. The penal substitutionary theory teaches that Jesus died to satisfy God's wrath against human sin. Jesus is punished in the place of sinners in order to satisfy the justice of God and the legal demand of God to punish sin. Those are just a handful of those theories, and there are many more, but here's how I want to answer the question, why did Jesus have to die? Because Good Friday, or his death, reveals God's real and very overwhelming love for us. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he sent his Son." And sending his Son meant sending his Son to be rejected, to suffer terribly, and to painfully die on the cross. That's Good Friday. And it was done because of his great love for all of us. And Jesus did, in fact, suffer. He suffered tremendously. Crucifixion was a Persian invention that the Romans perfected. Victims were first stripped naked, flogged and beaten with a whip, tortured and mutilated. Crucifixion was the final part of a horrific and inhumane execution method. Some victims passed away from their wounds before even making it to the cross. And Jesus was no exception to this suffering. But we were reminded Palm Sunday that Jesus wasn't a victim. He willingly laid his life down. His death proved his love for all of us. Matthew's account of Jesus' suffering, found in chapter 27, verse 27 through 31, says, "Some of the governor's soldiers took Jesus into their headquarters and called out the entire regiment. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. They wove thorn branches into a crown and put it on his head. They placed a reed stick in his right hand as a scepter. Then they knelt before him in mockery and taunted, 'Hail, King of the Jews!' They spit on him and grabbed the stick and struck him on the head with it. And when they finally were tired of mocking him, they took off the robe and put his own clothes on him again. Then they led him away to be crucified." Let's remember, Jesus came to this earth supernaturally, born of a virgin, raised by two young parents, born into this world as the promised Messiah. And when he started his ministry, Jesus was everything everybody needed. He taught through storytelling and discussion. He performed mighty acts of power, healed the sick, the lame, the deaf, the mute, the broken. He loved the outcast, the overlooked, the empty, and the tired. He pursued the sinner. He was sent to live as a human, to die as a criminal in my place, and to raise back to life from death as Lord and Savior of the world. But remember, Jesus knew what was going to happen before it happened. And the reason why he did it is because of his great love for all of humanity. Matthew chapter 16, verse 21 says, "From then on, Jesus began to tell his disciples plainly that it was necessary for him to go to Jerusalem, that he would suffer many terrible things at the hand of his elders, the leading priests, and the teachers of religious law. He would be killed, but on the third day he would be raised from the dead." Jesus knew there was a plan, and he knew the plan, and he did this plan because of his love for you and for me and forever, every human that would ever live. The question really is, if he knew this was going to happen, why did he do it? We see this in Matthew 26, 38 and 39. He told them, "My soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. He went on a little farther and bowed his face to the ground, praying, My Father, if it is possible, let this cup of suffering be taken away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine. We see that Jesus did this in obedience to the Father. John 15:13 says, For this is how God loved the world. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friend. He did this as an example of real love. John 3:16 says, For this is how God loved the world, that he gave his one and only Son to come and be rejected, to suffer terribly, and to die alone, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Ultimately, the reason why Jesus came was so that you and I could experience salvation. There was absolutely nothing good about Good Friday for him. The only good about Friday was what it did for you and for me. As much as we want to help everybody experience the sorrow of Good Friday, we've done our best to produce an environment conducive to the emotion of sorrow and grief, to sit in the silence, to do it a little bit different. The motive behind it all is to remind the person who's sitting in this room right now, wherever you are, Jesus did this because he loves you. He suffered because he loves you, because he cares about you, because because he wants relationship with you, because he wants to crawl into that hole with you, take hold of you, and help you make your way out of it. That's why he did it. That's why he did it. And if there's one thing we want you to remember from now until Sunday, it's this: the death of Christ proves the love of God for people. Because people are who he loves most. In the lobby, as people were coming in, I met some visitors for the very first time visiting Cedar Valley tonight for the very first time. And then, of course, we have our faithful. And wherever you find yourself tonight in your walk with Jesus, don't you leave this room tonight without knowing he did this for you. He did this for you. He endured the pain and the suffering for you. Tonight, as we partake in communion together, as you prepare your cup, I'd like to give you some time to pause and to reflect and to search your heart, to examine your heart, to prepare yourself to receive the elements tonight. Would you do that? Would you just take 30 seconds and examine your own heart? Just sit in the silence of what this moment means. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. And then he broke it in pieces and said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Would you take the bread? In the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper and said, "This cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this in remembrance of me as often as you drink it." Would you take the cup? For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again. I'm going to pray. We're going to hold on to our cups, and as you exit the auditorium this evening, our ushers will be standing by the doors, and you can put your cup in the little basket that they have with them. I'm going to pray, and we're going to have one final song as you remain seated. Then we'll come and take the candle and walk it out of the auditorium, and then we will end our service tonight in silence. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for sending your one and only Son to come and suffer terribly, to die a criminal's death, so that we could experience salvation. We thank you for making a way. God, this room is filled with people tonight. Some are close to you. Some are in the best season they've ever been spiritually. They're hearing your voice clearly. They find themselves enjoying the word of God and discussion with other believers. Their faith is strong. Their belief in you is strong. We rejoice with them tonight. But Father, there are some in this room who would say, "This is the worst season of my life. This has been the toughest season of my life. My faith is weak. My belief is nearly gone. I'm weary and I'm tired." And God, tonight I pray for them. For those in the room who need a special touch from you. I pray in the name of Jesus for a miracle from heaven. May they know in this moment that everything you did was for them, and how you love them dearly, and you sending your Son Jesus, and Jesus, you accepting the call to come and die on their behalf, was done because you love them. Proof of your great, overwhelming love for them, for me, and for every person in this room tonight. May we know with certainty of your great love for us, that even in moments when we do not feel loved, remind us that we are greatly loved by the Creator of the universe, by our Father. for your sacrifice. Thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you for being the ultimate sacrifice. Thank you for the bloodshed. Thank you for enduring the cross. Thank you for taking the abuse on our behalf. Thank you for enduring the mockery and the humiliation and the flogging and the whipping. And never saying a word, thank you. Thank you. We remember you tonight. We remember you tonight.